And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for the Game Plan Double the Fun. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Thank you for joining us once again. This is going to be a fun one. It's called Double the Fun because both teams picked up big victories. One got their first win in the new stadium, The other ruined homecoming. The homecoming game for a actual division rival. We will get into which did which. But first, not only do I want to welcome you as I just did, I want to remind you, if you're listening to us live, we appreciate you following the link on social media or just tuning into our Blog Talk Radio page. Or also by calling 347-826-7448. Now, the phone lines will be open tonight. I may be able to take a few calls here and there, or if you just want to hang out, that's fine as well. Take your suggestions via social media. You know how to find us on Facebook. We are Impact Media. Or you can look up yourself, Jeremy York. You can catch us on... Well, you can catch myself on Twitter and Instagram at TheImpact99. This is all a lot of information, but I assure you it's all worth it and all charted out on social media. And, of course, at Team Impact Media on Twitter. We do look at your suggestions, your questions, your comments. If you are downloading this podcast, we definitely in the podcast form, we definitely appreciate that. We appreciate that you went to the iTunes store. If you get a chance, go and give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. It helps make us better. It helps get us some other sponsors on here so that we can do this show for free and continue to entertain you guys. Hope you guys are entertained by all this. And I'm actually super excited, not only because of the wins, but we were able to get some press conference clips for tonight's show. How much fun is that going to be? It's been a while since we had those on. There is no guests tonight. It is me. I'm going to lead you right up to, I believe, World Series Game 7, because that's what we're going to be watching here at the studio, and I'm pretty sure you guys are as well. By the way, just want to throw this out there. Go Dodgers. I actually said Dodgers in 6, although it wouldn't hurt my feelings the Astros won, because both these are good teams, and neither are my actual favorite teams. So, either way, it's been a great series. Hope for another good ending. Now, let's talk some college football. Of course, if you want to, we're going to start with Georgia State, as we always do. If you want to follow along with Georgia State football, at Georgia State, all spelled out, FB. And, of course, if you want to follow Kennesaw, it is at Kennesaw STFB, or Kennesaw State football. Appreciate all you guys listening. Now, let's start by talking about the huge win versus South Alabama. On Thursday night, that I'm not sure which I like better. That stadium lit up at night or that stadium lit up in the afternoon. Probably going to get a chance to watch some afternoon contests more than any more night games, but man, how cool was that? Some things that, let's see. The coolest thing is this game just flew by. It was a little over 3 hours long. That's something we're not used to. Things we did really well. How about gaining over 100 yards again on the ground? We were averaging almost 3.5 yards per rush. We had a rushing touchdown, which went to the Kyler Neal. Snowball, as I like to call it. Kyler, if you don't like that nickname, give me a heads up and we'll find something else. Some other things. We did get out pass, but we didn't need it. They had to pass because they were out of the game for a lot. And up until the last minute and a half, they had all but tapped out. We did lose a fumble, and that's something we'll have to work on. We did have 7 penalties for 63 yards. Definitely something we're going to work on. But overall, it was absolutely fantastic to see all the smiles on everybody's face. This was a little down. Here's the reason why it was down. The Atlanta United were within a mile or so down the road having their first ever playoff game. So a lot of people were there. A lot of people came over after that game, and we were glad to receive them. But the smiles on everybody's faces, including Coach Elliott, it was just fantastic to see just the ear-to-ear Joker grin, basically, and glad everything went well. Top performers for us, Glenn Smith was the top rusher. He had 73 total yards. Kyler Neal had 32 and the rushing touchdown. Connor Manning was able to scramble for a few. Devin Gentry and Penny Hart all had some snaps from the backfield. That is something we're looking into. Not only give those playmakers some of the injuries we have in the backfield, give some other people some looks. What you won't see, at least currently, is Aaron Winchester taking back snaps. I have been personally assured of that. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. I've been personally assured of that, and in case that does happen down the road, I will take all the credit in the world of being the one that suggested it. Just
it's funny because it's true.
Thanks, sound guy, for paying attention on that one. Yeah, no joke. But yeah, some of the other top performers. What were you? There it is. Connor Manning was 17 for 31, no interceptions, 195 yards. He didn't need 300 this time. Two touchdowns, one of which went to Penny Hart, 98 yards on six catches, and the other went to Glenn Smith, who had 36 yards on two catches. Tamir Jones got in on the action. Kyler Neal got in on the action. Todd Boyd, glad to see him back involved. Jonathan Fetty and, of course, Ari Wirtz. Even our kicking game was better. Brandon Wright had some good punts. Oliver Holdenson did as well. They're both averaged over between 40 to 45, I believe, was their total average, including some just bombs, one of which was a touchback and one was in the inside the 20. Glenn Smith was our best returner. We know that. And the other ones were down. We didn't have to worry about those. Brandon Wright missed a 50-yard field goal, but 50 is a long way to kick a football. And Barry Brown continues to be our kickoff specialist and do some incredible things. So thanks, Barry, as far as that. Let's get to the defense. Our defense. We had the combined sack from Dante Wilson and Mr. Willis. We had a lot of tackles for loss. We ended up with six of those from the likes of Shaw, Chase Middleton, Victor Hayward, Mr. Wilson and Mr. Willis I just mentioned, Julian Laurent, and Terry Thomas, all with some fantastic there. The one interception went to Brian Williams. Brian Williams, that is his fourth of the year. That is tied for the record at Georgia State most in a season. It is his sixth career interception, which is also tied for the school record. So with a couple games to go, Brian, I feel like you're definitely going to be the one to break those. Other interception actually went to Cedric Stone, who has a handful himself. It seemed like everybody, it was a complete game. Everybody was able to play, do their job, to use the Belichick form. But yeah, it was just total. Now, I want to give a shout-out to Jeremy Reeves. He plays for the South Alabama Jaguars. He actually got dinged up towards the end of it. But that dude is by far their MVP on defense. Seemed like every other play, or at least every third play, Jeremy Reeves on the tackle. Jeremy Reeves in the back. Jeremy Reeves. I appreciate you putting Jeremy's on the map, on the football field. I do the best I can from the booth. Thank you for painting him in a good light, because we all know the running joke, even though there's a lot of truth to it, Jeremy's aren't painted as the best people in the media. You know, Pearl Jam sings about bad things we do in the classroom. Hallmark makes movies about how we're the bad boyfriend. I assure you, most of us Jeremys are good people. But just to get have everybody laughing here. But no. Dallas Davis for them. I want to give a shout out to him as well. Dallas Davis was he's a good quarterback. He really is a good quarterback. He ended up going 27 for 48. He threw the two interceptions. He had 297 yards and the one touchdown. But, yeah, that guy can play. That guy can play for sure. And he had a couple receivers in Sam Harris and Jamarcus Way, or Jamarius Way, rather, that had about 200 yards between them and one of the and the lone touchdown catch. South Alabama, there's a reason why they beat Troy, I believe. They're a pretty good team as well. We were just able to get out to a big lead and hold them to it, and it worked out to our favor. Now, let's get into some of the clips that I famously have been talking about, and you guys hopefully will enjoy them. First, I want to start. We asked Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson was asked about his interception.
It was a 3-by-1 set. We was playing quarters. I had the key to tight end. He curled around. The ball went through his hands. It popped up in the air, and I'm just thankful God put me in a good position to be right there to catch the ball and make a play on it.
You know, I'm glad, Brett. I'm glad for you too, Brian. I'm glad that God put you in that position as well. Brian is a fantastic guy. If you see him around campus, give him a high five. I'm sure he will give you one back. But yeah, that's basically how the play broke down. It kind of went through the receiver's hands, and as it did, it popped up in the air. Brian has the alertness and the awareness to look for the ball, and there it was. So he jumped up and took it. Fantastic work on his part. And like I said, he is tied for the single season interception record, and he is tied for the school record with 4 and 6, respectively. Now, to a quick vote in here. Do we want to hear from the other players or do we want to hear from the coach? In the text line saying other players. All right, we'll save Coach Elliott for a minute. Here is I actually asked this question. And no, I don't always put my answers on here. But I actually asked Penny Hart on practicing against his own defensive backs during practice and how that helps him for games.
I say going against Channing Sullivan and Jerome Smith, you know, for the past 3 years that I've been here, is almost like when you step out on the field against somebody else, you've seen everything you could possibly see. You've seen every single jam you could possibly see. You've seen any footwork that you could possibly see. And it's, you know, those are the best two DBs I've ever went up against. And it shows, you know, with me being able to play the way I do and also giving us good looks throughout practice and us having to make difficult throws on them with limited space and everything, you know, they really prepare us well.
Absolutely. If you want to be the best, you got to go against the best. That's something I've always lived by. It's something my parents actually taught me. My dad really emphasizes it a lot. You know, if you want to be a good golfer, a good tennis player, a good hole digger for all that matters, then you want to put yourself, you want to play with people or you perform against people that are better than you because it's going to make you or against the top, you know, the top talent performers so that it makes you play that level up. And that's something Penny always talks about. And I'm glad that he was able to break that down for you because, I mean, God, I didn't want to go against the defensive backs. Even jokingly, I don't think I would want to try to catch a pass against them. I believe they're going to intercept everything. Let's see, what else we have? Oh, Connor Manning was asked about his overall performance tonight, to which he replied.
It was just me executing my job to best abilities, and I felt like for the most part we executed on some things. We still left a lot. We had a couple drives that we kind of stalled out, but for the most part we executed, and we, you know, converted in the red zone on some things, which was big for us to put up 6 instead of 3.
It was good to see the excellence of Georgia State's execution tonight. Like he said, it was when you execute plays, you play a complete game, you don't turn the ball over a whole lot, you make good choices, you end up winning great conference games on Thursday night. I mean, simply put, and it's something Coach echoes all the time, on and off the practice field, on and off the regular field. We've heard him say it a million times. I'm sure they hear it all over the facility. If everybody does their job and has a complete game, you don't have to be perfect. No, you don't have to be perfect. Just play a complete game. Don't turn the ball over a whole lot. Minimize mistakes. and you're able to win. You're able to win. Simple as that. But I was happy. Connor and Penny were actually at the press conference at the same time. Usually, a lot of times, it's an individual basis. This time, they're both sitting there, and they really be having fun next to each other. So, glad that that camaraderie is there. Now, Coach Elliott was asked, about the overall effort of the defense.
In the secondary, our linebackers, our defense, the defensive front, just made plays all night, you know.
Exactly. They just made plays all night. This defense a lot of times has helped keep when the offense starts to stall a little bit and tries to find new ways to put points up, this defense has been able to really do their jobs and keep us in a lot of ball games. So they were able to do that tonight for sure. And like he said, it was the line, it was the linebackers, it was just a complete effort. It was the safeties, the DBs, everything. It was complete team victory. And you don't get that a lot, even on other levels. Sometimes even in the NFL, you see that where one facet is not quite as good as the other two, and yet they're able to hang on to win. Tonight, we seem to have a lot of things going, so really great for that.
A lot better when you win.
It is a lot better when you win. That's going to be a fun drop we're going to have there. It's something Coach said. I think you guys are going to enjoy. I actually asked Coach about playing on Thursday. You know, in the NFL, a lot of people complain about the Thursday games. I'm going to have more on this on tomorrow night's Sports Club right here at 7, same time. Just tomorrow night, trust me, I got a plan, and I also see something that could happen about Thursday games. But I asked Coach Elliott about Thursday games.
We won 21. What was the score? 21-13. Is that what it was? I love them, man. They love them. It's great. Man, to tell you the truth, it's you know, I thought it was I thought it would be a little bit tough on our players, but we really didn't change anything. I mean, we gave them Sunday off. We practiced Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then today we brought them over to our facility. And what a beautiful day. Got them out there and had a little walk through and really did everything we normally do. And normally after Thursday, it's just a waiting game. You know, it's just a waiting game. You wait around. I kind of like them. I kind of like them, to tell you the truth.
See? There you go. He's a fan of them. And not just because he's the winning coach. He's a fan of them, and that actually spawns one of the first contests we were gonna do here on the show. I don't know if you guys paid attention exactly to every part of that, but you know Nick Saban is very famous for tapping his Coke can, that's Coca-Cola by the way. I'm not gonna start that rumor by tapping his can, tapping the podium, such like that. Well, Coach Elliott just tapped the podium. He did a handful of times consecutively. Our first contest for a Impact Media shirt or some sort of prize package. We'll give your choice of that. We need you to tell us how many times he tapped the podium consecutively during that clip. Now, obviously, if you podcast version, you can rewind right back. If you're listening to us live, then you know how many it is. Here's how you get a hold of us. You go to @TeamImpactMedia, and you just send us in how many taps. So was it 5? Then you would put 5 taps and # GSU podium. # GSU podium. We'll do it that way. How many taps and # GSU podium. In fact, if you just put how many taps, we'll go with that. But you got to use the word taps somewhere in there. Was it 5? Was it 3? Was it 2? Could have been 6 or 7. However many you think it was, don't just guess. Whoever the first, we'll leave this open till the start of tomorrow night's Sports Club. So anybody that sends in entries, we will take all the winning entries, put them in a hat, and draw out for the prize pack. And might do a little something for most of you guys anyway. But like I said, go to @TeamImpactMedia. Tell us how many taps coach just had on the podium during that particular clip. And might win yourself some swag. Because we all know.
It's a lot better when you win.
It is a lot better. A lot better. A lot better. But yeah, that now moves us. That moves us to... It moves us to 4-3. We're 3-1 in the division, which is a fantastic thing. That puts us at a very good spot as well as we pull up the Sun Belt standings. Where currently Arkansas State leads at 4-0 in the conference. They lead by a half game over Appalachian State because App State has played one extra game than Arkansas State. Tied at 3-1 is the Troy Trojans and, of course, our Georgia State Panthers. So we are technically tied for second. Some would say third. I'll say second. But Troy does have the best overall record, including a win over us. So we definitely need to win a few more games regardless. But also keep in mind, we're only 2 wins away from potentially being bowl eligible. And there are 4 or 5 bowls that I know we would automatically qualify for if we can get to that 6th number, I believe. So let's hope we can win 2 of the next 4. Those are some pretty good odds. I think we can, including this game coming up, which we're going to talk about right now. And that game I am talking about is going to be this Saturday at 3 p.m. in Statesboro, Georgia, the home of the Georgia Southern Eagles. I think we're all pretty familiar with them. I had a good time a couple years ago when I went down to this game. And they're always their hospitality is always fantastic. I always appreciate the effort they put up and everything. Do want to bring up, of the 3 Georgia Southern, Georgia State games I have watched, Georgia State not only has won the last 2, they hold a 2-1 lead in the series. Plus, they have already won the rivalry series. Georgia State has won the rivalry series already on points. And I don't know what's going on in Georgia Southern right now. It seems like they are about to do another coaching change that could shake some things up. They are still trying to run the ball a good bit. I believe they're still going for the triple option, which is something they have done for a handful of years. I mean, you know, right now they're averaging 203 rushing yards a game. They have 9 touchdowns on the ground. They have 3 touchdowns in the air. They're averaging about 100 yards passing. Similar to Georgia Tech, except for Georgia Tech is winning a lot of ball games this year. Can't say that about Georgia Southern. They are not having a real good time there. They are averaging scoring 18 points a game. They're averaging giving up 41. They have given up almost as many rushing yards as they have gained in 1,600 to 1,700. And they give up about the same number of rush yards and twice have given up 17 rush touchdowns. They have given up 6 interceptions and gained and caught 7 from opponents. Opponents are averaging 243 yards in the air and have thrown for 20 touchdowns. I think you guys get where I'm going with this. They are averaging 63 yards in penalties per game. They've committed 49 total penalties. And their opponents have committed 34 for an average of 38 yards. So they're hurting themselves a little bit. If you're spotting your opponent 63 yards a game, that can be a bad thing. They're controlling the clock a lot because of their running. They're just not scoring a lot. They are 27% on third down, 55% on fourth down. They have fumbled the ball 24 times with only a little under half of those actually going to the other team. They've been sacked 11 times, and in the red zone, they are 13 for 18, with 7 of those 13 being touchdowns. So when they get to there, they seem to score. But here's a ridiculous number. Their opponents are 23 for 28 in the red zone, with 20 of the 23 being touchdowns. So there's one key right there. That's what I'm going to get to right now, the four keys to beating the Georgia Southern Eagles. I'm going to say capitalize in the red zone. When we get to the red zone, we need to put up 7. 3 is fine as well, but that's the only options. If we get to the red zone and don't score, that's a problem. I don't think we have that problem. Since they run the ball so well, we need to stuff the run lanes. And that's going to lead to number 3, which is force them to throw, which eats into our strength. And number 4, I think the ultimate way that we're going to be able to beat them is to win the turnover and field position battle. I just told you that they spot their opponent 63 yards. Well, that should be a touchdown for us. Should be a touchdown. But as I said, just to recap, the Georgia State-Georgia Southern game will be in Statesboro at 3 p.m. That is a ESPN3 game. That means you go to ESPN.com or the ESPN Watch app on your phone or favorite mobile device. When you go to the watch portion of it, you should be able to look and find it. And also you can listen along as well on 1340 AM, The Fan 2, 103.7 FM. The Fan 2, and there'll be live audio and live stats on GeorgiaStateSports.com. Because after this weekend, we're really getting into the last stretch. We have 4 games left, as I said. We get Georgia Southern, we get Texas State in Texas State, and then we finish up at home with Appalachian State and Idaho. Those should be a lot of fun, all 3 of those games. I think this one's going to be a lot of fun. I do think the Panthers will be able to pull out a victory. And I think we will be one short of 6 at that point. And our 5th win will be one of our biggest. That's going to finish it up for the Georgia State portion of the show. Looks like we might have a caller. I'm going to bring him on real quick before I do swap over. You are live in the game plan. What's your name and where are you from?
How do you do? This is Lou from New Jersey.
Oh, thanks for calling in, Lou. Did you have a question or a comment?
You were mentioning about Georgia, correct?
Well, Georgia State, but yeah, we can talk about Georgia if you want.
Okay, well, because I was going through the playoff rankings last night, and Georgia is ranked number 1 over Alabama. Now, I'm not knocking Georgia because I think they do a great job, but I still think that Bama, you know, deserves number 1 ranking. I mean, they're way too powerful. I mean, they blow everybody out. So.
Well, I can see that point because I could actually argue both points on this. But, yeah, I see that point. And, you know, it seems like on one side, Georgia is getting the benefit of the doubt. On the other side, Alabama, for some reason, is not. They talk about strength of schedules or big wins or out-of-conference wins. I like what Nick Saban said earlier this week. He said at his press conference, these rankings don't do much for him. He really doesn't pay a lot of attention to them. The ranking that means anything to him is, 5 or 6 weeks away, and as long as he's in the top 4, I'm sure he's fine with it. So he's going to keep doing his thing, and the committee's going to keep making this television show get higher ratings.
I see. Yeah, cause, you know, I'm thinking, Bama's so strong, and yet the committee, you know, takes Georgia.
Yeah, so I said, you got to look at. Yeah, I was going to say you got to look at the committee. you know, now it's a television show that they show the committee making their decisions,
right,
and making this. It's a television show for them. So in order to get the rankings, in order to get us to tune in, sometimes they're going to swap them up. But, you know, pretty much just pay attention to the top four, top five, top six.
Yes.
And that'll give you an idea who they really like, because to me there's only about six or seven strong enough teams to win the whole thing, the national title this year. So just kind of pay attention to the top six or seven. And as long as the bigger teams are up there, then to me that's really who they're going to pick from. I wouldn't worry about a week one ranking. Maybe in 2 or 3 weeks if they're still ahead of them, you kind of look and try to see where they're coming from. But it just depends on the criteria they use that week.
Of course, if it plays all the way out up into the championship game on December 2nd, you know, that's going to be quite a battle. Of course,
right,
one of them is going to lose that battle on December 2nd. So, you know, then we're going to think that who is Alabama going to go up against for the championship game?
Right, but also keep in mind, because the Big Ten is looking at the same situation as Penn State, I think, is 7. Or so, and Ohio State, I think, moved into, they might be top four, top five. I haven't seen the ranking, but
I think
last year you,
right now.
Okay. Well, last year you had Penn State actually win Big Ten, but Ohio State was in the top four. So Penn State people were kind of making that argument, hey, how can you be in the top four? How can you be in a chance for the title when you didn't win your division? Well, this year it could actually be flopped, where Ohio State could win the Big Ten, but State has the stronger schedule, the stronger wins, there's a chance they leapfrog them, and that kind of thing happens. So the Big Ten and the SEC might have two representatives apiece, which will make the Pac-12 and everybody else pretty upset.
Yeah, probably right. But still,
But like I said, it's week one on their rankings. They're trying to get us to continue to tune in. If the two teams played right now, it would be a really close battle. But Georgia might could use the momentum they have right now. They might could beat Saban right now. But, you know, Saban's just really hitting his stride. We all know this team just gets better and better. The Tide do all the way through the end of the year. When they both play at their elite level at the end of the year, we'll really know who the top team is. But for right now, I don't pay much attention to these rankings, and apparently Nick Saban doesn't either.
That's not surprising. I mean, Saban doesn't really care about that right now anyway.
Right. It would be, you know, it's like in the NFL, if you ask Bill Belichick, you know, oh, ESPN ranked you the top team in the league, and he would probably go, okay, that doesn't win me a Super Bowl. What do I care?
I can't stand Belichick.
Well, if you're from New Jersey, I can definitely figure out why. So
there's a few pockets of people from Jersey who are Patriots fans, but it's very, very small.
Right.
Yeah,
but,
man,
Lou, I appreciate you calling in, and to echo what Rich Eisen says on his show, you know, don't lose the number. Actually, tomorrow night we will have an all-sports show where we talk a lot more pro football and such like that, and feel free to call back as well. 7 o'clock, same time as this one.
Seven, is that Eastern time?
Yes, 7 Eastern.
Okay, because I called the show then, and they're an hour behind us, so I want to get that, you know, I want to get that clear so I don't mess it up.
Right, yeah, 7 Eastern. Yeah, I forget sometimes
thanks.
That, yeah.
All right, thanks.
But you have a great rest of your evening, and thanks for calling.
You got it.
Hey, there you go. Just like I said, sometimes the phone lines are open. Have them open tonight if you want to call in. And we'll talk about other things. I talked a little Georgia, a little college football there. These things will factor into these teams. But, you know, as I said, we're going to move on to the Kennesaw State portion of our show. Definitely, like I said, appreciate Lou calling in. Hope he has a great time out there in New Jersey. Some good things happening out there. We'll talk more about those tomorrow night. But on the other side of the break, we'll talk to Kennesaw Apples right here on the Game Pass.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. Back on the game plan. Of course, we just talked some Georgia State Panthers as we always do. We're going to finish up with some Kennesaw Owls and get out of here. Finished up a great call from Lou. He is from New Jersey. Called in to talk a little bit of the Big Four rankings. He wasn't quite sure why Georgia was ahead of Alabama. Talked a little bit about that. You know, that's the way this show works. Yes, our main focus is to talk about the Kennesaw State Owls. And our main focus is to talk about the Georgia State Panthers. If you have college-related questions, feel free to call them in. Even when we have guests, we'll throw them in front of these guests, see what everybody thinks as well. And, you know, great call. Glad he called in. Now, we're going to talk about the KSU Owls. And I have a few things. I took some notes. I'm still trying to work out a nickname for Chandler Burks. If you guys know his nickname, at the Impact 99, at Team Impact Media, drop us a line. Or if you have suggestions, please keep them user-friendly. He's a good dude. But I'll get to that here in a minute. Let's talk about this. I watched this game. I actually watched it again last night. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss something, and I wanted to watch for a few other things. KSU spoiled homecoming for Presbyterian. You know, I started the show by saying one of these teams spoiled homecoming for somebody, and the other got a huge win in their home stadium. So now the cat's out of the bag on that. They spoiled homecoming for a Presbyterian, the Blue Hose, which are some big-time warriors, I guess. They kind of, the mascot kind of looked like Mel Gibson and Braveheart. So all right, let's look that up real quick. Apparently, there's a lot of other stories on how they got called the Blue Hose, but there's a type of warrior. Not the Blue Hose aren't, but Presbyterian uses the warriors, that Braveheart warrior style there. So there you go on that. Some notes that I had. Is my goodness, Chandler, the Red Ninja, or the Red Dragon? That's the two I come up with so far. Red Dragon or Red Ninja Burks? Chandler, Red Ninja Burks. Chandler, Red Dragon Burks. I think Red Ninjas. He's pretty elusive. But Chandler Burks. He was 5-7 for 93. Touchdown, because he didn't need to. And why didn't he need to? Well, because the run game was on point. How on point was it? Well, he had 78 yards, and Bronson Rechsteiner was able to power his way to 90, almost topped 100. Chandler also rushed for 3 touchdowns. Yeah, Jake McKenzie get only action. Shaquille Terry, TJ Reed, Daniel David actually played part of the fourth quarter. It was good to get him some snaps. He did some fun things. I'll get something on him in a minute. Trey Chivers got in on the action. So did Darnell Holland. In fact, at some point, I could have went to the game and threw on a helmet, and I feel like I could have got 8 yards. This offensive line was humming. Of course, getting Justin Sumter, McKenzie Holland, and Terry all involved in the pass game was great as well. Let's talk a little bit about this defense. The big tackle monsters were Anthony Gore and Izzy Sam. You had Dorian Walker with a big sack. You had Brenton Wembley with a big sack. Dorian Walker actually caused a fumble. And he also got an interception. So getting at it. Had a handful of quarterback hits as well. This team was doing well. And Jordan Genovese is a kickoff specialist. The guy was averaging 59 yards per kick. Three of them were touchbacks. He is putting it out of reach. Absolutely putting it out of reach. You know, top performers for them, they had Robinson and Marable, who are their top runners, had 53 and 32. They actually went through a couple different quarterbacks with Brock and Cheek. They combined to go 13 for 27 for 118 yards and an interception. Cheek got sacked twice. I told you about the two sacks we had. It was a fun game to be a Kennesaw Owl. It's a good day to be one. In fact, this whole week has been great days to be a Kennesaw State Owl and great days to be a Georgia State Panther. But yeah, they were able to just get after it. It started a little slow, but they finished strong using their quickness, the key to the spread option. On top of this defense, just making plays and really solidifying towards the end. There was steady ball movement that wore the Presbyterian defense down. That's just constantly kept moving. Quick plays, it starts to wear on them. The more plays you can run on them, and you don't let them substitute much, that's how you beat them. In fact, let's see. We ran 69 plays on their defense. They ran 58 on ours. But they were a lot of big-time long drives towards the end. And after you've been moving around a lot, when you have to move even more, that's ultimately how we were able to get the victory. So you can put that one on the board. See if we can find... That made win number 7 in a row. They are kind of doing what the New Orleans Saints are doing, what the Kennesaw Owls are doing. Saints lost their first two games and proceeded to win 5 in a row. We lost the opening game against Stanford in a tight battle and proceeded to beat Tennessee Tech, Alabama State, North Greenville, Texas Southern, Liberty, Gardner Webb, and now Presbyterian. And that 7-1 puts us in a really, really fantastic place. I feel good about it. You guys feel good about it. Can we? No, can't find the. That's fine. Yeah, this team got a little slow on the start, just like they did against Gardner Webb. But we're able to put it together a little quicker than we did during that game as well. And able to pick up the victory. I mean, pitch the shutout, 28-0. That always makes a coach happy. Coach Brian Bohannon had some fantastic things to say after the game. He really, really enjoyed the effort, and there's still a few things he's going to clean up because, first of all, that's how he operates. Overall, he was very happy and ready to move on to the next game. And the next game, of course, is this Saturday, 2 p.m. start. That is 12 p.m. Mountain, and the reason I that is they are in Bozeman, Montana, against Montana State. That game is on Peachtree TV. You can also catch it on the radio on 106.3 FM and 1230 AM, which is the Fan 3. And you can actually listen, I believe, through AtlantaSportsStation.com, which is the listen feature on KSUOwls.com. Tell you a little bit about Montana State. Montana State has rushed for almost 2,000 combined yards, and they have passed for about 1,300. They're averaging 244 yards on the ground and 157 in the air. Well, that's pretty easy to figure out. They love to run the ball. pretty well to get 240 a game. They have 12 rushing touchdowns to 13 passing. So they use the run to set up the pass. That's what it's used for. And they've got some killer runners there. They average giving up 143 rush yards a game. Yeah, that's going to change. They average giving up 242 pass. So if we have to, we'll have Chandler play a little more. But I think we're going to stick with the game plan we have. I think we're going to be good as far as that. Let's see how they do in the third down conversions. They are about 45%. Fourth down conversions, they are about 80%. So when they do go for it, they tend to get it. And opposing teams get third down conversions 51% of the time and 53% of the time get fourth downs. They have 15 total sacks on the year. They've only given up 7. Yeah. The War of the Trenches is going to be something, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. Some of their big performers. Chris Murray is their big rusher. He's played in all 8 games this year. He has attempted 136 rushes for 848 yards. He is closing in on 1,000. He has 6 total rush touchdowns. You have Troy Anderson with 425 yards and 3 touchdowns. As far as passing, they figure out how their offense works. Passing, Chris Murray is 93 for 181 with 8 interceptions. It's good for 51%. He's thrown for 1,234 yards. Isn't that cute? 1, 2, 3, 4. Anyway, he has 12 total passing touchdowns. Kevin Cassis has also thrown a pass for a touchdown. He's only thrown two other passes, so I'm not that concerned there. Looks like Chris Murray is the main guy who will run and pass, which seems to be easier. So, you know, think Cam Newton. Michael Vick. Alex Smith. Alex Smith doesn't run that much, but he can run the spread option. Big receivers for them. Mitch Hebert has 4 touchdowns and 360 yards. Mr. Johnson has 351 and 3 touchdowns. And Kevin Cassis and Troy Anderson have a touchdown apiece. So do some other people. Interceptions for them. They have 3 total. Bryson McCabe, Braden and Mac Bignell all have interceptions for them. Mac Bignell's actually went 18 yards and was a pick 6. And they've actually returned, Chad Canal returned a fumble for a touchdown. Check out their defense real quick. Mac Bignell has a couple sacks. Derek Marks is their big dog with 4 and a handful of other ones. They have 15 total, as I said. 3 interceptions. They've caused a handful of fumbles. They are a pretty good defensive team, and they're going to run more than they pass. Stop me when you've heard that before. It will be a little bit of a mirror game. I believe we'll be able to pull this out. How are we going to pull this out? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's time for the 4 keys to victory for Kennesaw State to defeat Montana State this week. First of all, we got to win the battle of the trenches. That means our offensive line needs to create running lanes for the running backs and for Chandler. And that means our defensive line has to either cause havoc and pressure or get enough pressure to get in the backfield themselves. Number 2, we have to win the turnover battle. We can't fumble the ball a lot, and we can't turn it over. I know there's been a couple issues with handoffs here in the last couple weeks, but it's only been just 1 or 2 times here. So I think that's gonna be okay. Now, as good as their defense is, here's what I want us to do. With our playmakers, we need to get them in space. I think that means less running between the tackles and guards and center and more running into space, which is the flat up to the left and right of the offensive line. And finally, stay calm. Just play, settle down, play calm. That's what Coach Boyannon says all the time. Stay calm, play your game. If they score, get an early lead, that's fine. Football is played over four quarters, and if that's not good enough, you get an extra one. Or so. In college, you get many extras. But I think that's how we're going to be able to defeat it. Now, you guys wrote in and you wanted me to address something that did happen during the Presbyterian game. So I want to address that. Number 99 for us, Justin Marcus, was ejected in the second quarter with about 3:46 left in the first half for targeting. That means he misses two halves of football. So, you know, we'll see him in the second half of this game this coming up weekend. As far as the hit, it looked to me that he was going to make the tackle, and it went to the ground. So he went to the ground to help finish the tackle. He ended up coming in a little late, and his face mask hit the face mask of the runner at the time, who was the quarterback. It was a little late. I think Justin would agree with that. It was a little late. I'm not going to say it was unnecessary, and it wasn't violent. There was no intent, those kinds of things. That's the thing with that targeting rule. It depends on which sliding scale they use. Unfortunately, in this one, it meant Justin had to exit the game. But I know you didn't mean it. So does all the Owl Nation, Justin. Just keep your head up, keep digging, and keep doing good things. I know Coach has probably spoke to you already, so I'm not worried about it. But as I said, this Saturday on it's actually on Peachtree TV. I think I said it was on ESPN3 earlier, on Peachtree TV. This Saturday at 2 p.m., Bozeman, Montana. If you make it all the way up to Bozeman to watch the game, you can listen through KSAOwls.com. You can listen on 106.3 The Fan 3 or 12:30 The Fan 3, 12:30 a.m. Or you can watch Peachtree TV here locally. Probably what I'm going to do, because it's a great option. I'll probably listen as well, because there's great commentators. It's going to be a fantastic time. But that's going to do it for me this week. Appreciate all the love, the support, the comments, everything. And go to the iTunes store, give us a rating and review. Go ahead and hit subscribe as well. We definitely appreciate that. And remember our contest. Figure out how many times Coach Elliott consecutively tapped. There was one time he did it a number of times. Consecutively tapped the podium during one of the clips earlier. Go to @TeamImpactMedia, put how many taps that is. Whether that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 12, 14, 95, however many consecutive it was. We're going to put all the winning tweets in a hat. We're going to draw one out. And if yours is the winner, we will give you a choice of prize packs. And look forward to seeing everybody out at the games next weekend. Thanks to Lou for calling in. It was good talking to you, Lou. Like I said, don't lose that number. Feel free to call back in. And as far as Impact Media, this for the rest of this week, obviously tomorrow night at this time, starting at 7 p.m., is Sports Club. Got all kinds of fun things we're going to talk about. It was a crazy trade day just yesterday in the NFL. Plus, we're going to talk about some other bigger issues, talk Hawks, some World Series and other things as well. Should be joined by Cody Elias and Reggie Walker, possibly Coach Hill. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for tuning into the Game Plan. We will see you guys next week. Go Owls. Go Panthers.
that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?